Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Jason Robert Brown's first musical, Songs for a New World, played off-Broadway in 1995 and has since been seen in more than 200 productions around the world. He won the Tony Award for Best Original Score in 1999 for Parade, and won Drama Desk Awards in 2002 for Best Music and Best Lyrics for the last 5 years, which has been adapted for film by Richard LeGravenes and produced by Lucky Monkey Pictures, Shish Kaboom Records, and Grand Peaks Entertainment. Jason is the composer and lyricist of the new musical adaptation of The Bridges of Madison County, which opens on the Williamstown Theater Festival's main stage this week. The book for the Broadway-bound show is by Tony and Pulitzer winner Marsha Norman and is directed by Tony winner Bartlett Scheer. Jason Robert Brown, welcome to the Roundtable.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
This is your second time working with Marsha Norman, is that correct?
It's actually my third time working with Marsha. We first met, we did a play together at Manhattan Theater Club. Marsha had written a play called Last Dance, and I was called in to write the underscore. But in fact, I don't think I ever even met Marsha during the entire process. It was a beautiful play, and I loved writing the music, but I never heard from her one way or the other. So I was kind of surprised. Several years later, I got a call from Marsha about this piece, The Trumpet of the Swan, which they were doing at the Kennedy Center. And it was meant to be a sort of Peter and the Wolf kind of piece for orchestra and narrators. And she asked if I would write the music. And I was thrilled, you know, because writing for orchestras is one of my favorite things in the world. And so we did that, and we had just the most wonderful time working together. And so I said, listen, we have to write an actual musical together. We really have to sit and do that. She said, we do. And that's when we got the call from Robert James Waller's people that they wanted to musicalize The Bridges of Madison County, and would we be interested?
And you were. Were you familiar with the book or the movie, and did you like the story beforehand?
I wasn't familiar with it other than the fact that I knew the title. It had struck me when the book came out and was the most popular book on the planet Earth, and then when the movie came out, that it was sort of geared towards, you know, I would say it was geared towards older men and women, that it didn't seem like something I needed to bother with in my 20s. And so I really didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it, and I was pleasantly surprised when I did read the novel that it's much broader than I think its original marketing may have suggested. That it's a beautiful story, and I have to say I all this time later I've still never seen the movie. Well, at this point I know what happens, so it's all right.
What are some of the themes of the story that appealed to you, that drew you further in and kept reassuring you that you wanted to continue to work on the project?
You know, I think everyone has a bunch of themes that they come back to a bunch of times in their writing career. Any writer does. I seem always to come back to this idea of home. What is home, and what is it that we do to create a space for ourselves that feels like we belong in it? You know, what does belonging mean? And what does it mean to feel like an outsider? What does it mean to be outside? And I think that both Francesca, the woman who lives on the farm here, and Robert, the photographer who comes through Iowa, they're both outsiders in very different ways, but part of their attraction to each other is that they understand that outsiderness, that they recognize it in each other. And, you know, I think I'm certainly not the only person who feels like an outsider pretty much all the time. When we were working on 13, you know, I used to say that 13 was a show about a 13-year-old boy who thinks that no one's going to show up to his bar mitzvah, but I also felt like I was still that exact same 13-year-old kid the whole time writing it. So I think that that was at the center of The Bridges of Madison County for me, was this sense of two people who feel like they don't belong. And I really wanted to write something very romantic. I wanted to write something passionate. 13 was very goofy, and it meant the whole world to me, but it was a long time to be spending on something that was, you know, very silly. And I really wanted to write something that resonated emotionally with me. And so when this came up, it felt like exactly the thing that I had been looking for. You know, I had been saying to Marsha, we should write La Traviata. We should write something that's, you know, that's our opera. And then this came up, and we both said, well, this is it. This is our Traviata.
When you have that feeling that you want to write something very passionate and romantic, do you know that's what you're looking for? Like, you had that exact thought, and then this project came, and if it hadn't arrived, would you have created a romance next either way, do you think?
I think Marcia and I were looking for something that was a romance. We were looking for something that was going to be romantic and passionate and emotional and deep. And so we were scouting around for it, and I have a whole bunch of emails back and forth between me and Marcia that sort of coming up with ideas and suggestions and, you know, check off this or Ibsen that, and, you know, what is it that we were looking for? And right in the midst of that search is really when the Waller people called.
When you work on a show with someone like Marcia, you've obviously, of course, written shows on your own. How is your process different? What is the collaboration like?
You know, every collaboration is different. The great thing about working with Marcia is a very skilled lyricist on her own, and so working in this situation, she understands what a song is supposed to do and how a song is supposed to work in a piece of theater. So there's never any discussion about what would be the right song or when is the, you know, who should be singing or any of that stuff. We intuitively, you know, share the same language on that front. And then it's just about, there's a lot of, with me and Marcia, there's a lot of mind reading that goes on. It really is that we'll just sort of sit and over a long lunch, we'll just sit and talk about not the show at hand, but just sit and talk. And then she'll go off and write and I'll go off and write and we come back together and realize that we've been writing the same thing. And that happens surprisingly often. It's a collaboration built of enormous trust, which is not always the case and for which I'm obviously very grateful.
Is it a more comfortable thing then, having that support and that person that you keep relating to, than when you're working all on your own?
Writing is very lonely under any circumstances. I mean, it is definitely less lonely to have Marcia to bounce things off of and to have her able to pick up the ball and run with it until such time as the music has to show back up. But writing is still very lonely. It's still a very lonely and sort of exhausting job. I spend a lot of time sitting in a chair trying not to write, you know, and then having to force myself to do it because it's just, you go into this space. Well, I go into this space in the back of my head someplace and really the rest of the world stops existing. And I find it such a sort of rude awakening when the world sort of barges in on it, but I'm also so grateful for it, so I don't have to be alone in my head anymore.
It always amazes me how long it takes, how long a show has been in someone's head in development before I've heard of it or before the general public sort of hears about it. How long have you been working on this show?
We started on this, I think, in 2010. So by the standards of contemporary musical theater production, it's actually been a pretty quick drive. And, you know, I think it would have even been earlier, but we had some issues about members of the cast being available that we wanted and the right theater being available and sort of a whole lot of stuff. It's the logistics of a Broadway musical are so much more than the writing. And, you know, it's in the hands of producers and it's in the hands of you know, just sort of casting directors and a million other people. So getting all the pieces to fit together, the fact that it's only been 3 years feels like some sort of strange miracle. You know, the fact that it happens at all is a strange miracle. So I'm going to stop complaining about how long these things take from here on out.
How has the Williamstown process itself been? How has this part of the puzzle been going?
You know, the great thing about being here is it's just everyone who we bump into and everyone who we see is here to do theater. And that there's something about that collective focus that's so invigorating. We're all here to create theater. And that's thrilling and it's great. And the audience knows that that's what we're here to do. And it's just a lot of really good people all here at the same time for that same purpose. Putting a new piece out in the world is scary stuff. And it occurred to me this week that it's actually been 6 years since I put a new piece out in the world for the first time. And so I'm so grateful that we're going to be doing that here in this place where people love theater and they love new theater and they love sort of grown-up smart theater. It counts for everything.
And then previews begin on Broadway in the early part of next year, opening late February. What happens between the close of this run and then?
Nothing. The show's perfect. We never have to touch it. No, you know, we're going to use Williamstown as a good way to see what the show is and to see if there are places where it doesn't hold together as well as we want or where the story is not as clear as we want. And so it could be that songs get replaced, scenes get replaced. It could be that actors get replaced. You know, Kelly O'Hara, who we wrote the show for initially, wasn't able to join us here in Williamstown because she's 7 months pregnant, which would have changed the tenor of the story considerably. But Elena Shadow, who has been doing it here, is just marvelous. And so it's been a wonderful thing to be able to have Elena there to help her, to have her help us build the show. That's been fantastic. But we'll have to, you know, fold Kelly back into the process. And the show will change once Kelly gets back in, and we'll have to adjust the show around her presence. And so all of that is good work. That's all sort of exciting work. And we'll have to see. Also, the orchestra gets bigger between here and there, so we have to reorchestrate. But that's all the very good news.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about the film adaptation of the last 5 years that recently wrapped principal photography. Are you generally pleased with what has gone on with your work so far?
I'm thrilled that it's happening. I can't tell you whether I'm pleased about what they've done because honestly, I haven't seen it. You know, I showed up for like 3 days of filming, but really when you go on set to watch a piece being filmed, you know, you'll watch somebody ride a bicycle 20 feet about six times and then you'll say, all right, well, that was that take. And then they move on to some other scene. And, you know, the director, Rich LaGravenez, is really, I mean, he's brilliant and you can tell he's brilliant because he has to keep all of this stuff in his head about how it all gets pieced together. Later, but the screenplay, his adaptation is just great, and Anna Kendrick and Jeremy Jordan are both marvelous actors. I'm very, very lucky that that's who's going to be bringing those two characters into the world in a movie. I'm still amazed that it happened. If you'd asked me the day before filming started, I would have said, "Oh, well, that's not really going to happen." So I'm knocked out about it. It's a wonderful little present for me.
All of your work keeps me company for years now in my car, and I thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me, and I cannot wait to see Bridges and the film of the last 5 years. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
The Bridges of Madison County will run at the Williamstown Theater Festival August 1st through August 18th. To learn more, visit wtfestival.org. Our guest, Jason Robert Brown, is a composer and lyricist. His website, jasonrobertbrown.com. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.